Hallelujah. Time spent worshiping the Lord is never time wasted. Amen. We can never worship the Lord enough. We always really need to worship God more. Praise the Lord. I'd like to turn your attention this morning to the book of Psalms, a very familiar psalm, but one that's probably one of the most favorite of all the saints of God throughout the world, the 23rd Psalm. Perhaps a lot of you could quote it from memory, but let's look at it a little more carefully this morning. The 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. This psalm has been such a blessing to so many people over the centuries. It's kind of a unique psalm when you stop to notice it. It's actually written as if it's from the mouth of an animal. It's written as if it's a sheep that's talking. I can't think of another passage of Scripture that is written with that thought in mind, that it's an animal that's doing the talking. But of course we realize that this was David that wrote this, who later became the king of Israel, and he himself was a shepherd. When my wife and I, back in 1991, I think it was, went to Israel, we got to go to Bethlehem, where David lived, where he grew up, and we got to see those fields where he shepherded the sheep. He was a shepherd. That's one of the first things that we know about David. He was tending his father's sheep. We got to see those fields, and shepherds still take their sheep out into those fields of Bethlehem. It's a beautiful place, about 8 miles south of the city of Jerusalem. So Jerusalem is a beautiful city. Sister CJ, could you get a map of Jerusalem? Israel? Okay, praise the Lord. We got a map up here of Israel. I put a new battery in my pointer, but I don't think it's working correctly. Jerusalem is... my laser pointer has already died. Put a new battery in yesterday. It's not working. Anyway, you can see the Dead Sea there, that large dark blue spot. That's the Dead Sea. And just to the left of the Dead Sea, you'll see a red spot. That's Jerusalem. Got a little bit of a response. I think I need to get a new laser pointer. Anyway, just to the left of the Dead Sea, you'll see that red spot, and that's Jerusalem. Now, it's not on this map, but the city of Jericho lies just to the left of the Jordan River. You see the Jordan River, that blue line coming down there, flowing into the Dead Sea. And Jericho is just above, just north of the Dead Sea and to the left of the Jordan River. It's on the west side of the Jordan River, just a few miles. And that was where Joshua led the Israelite people when they crossed the Jordan River and they conquered Jericho. And there's quite a difference in the elevation between Jerusalem and Jericho. As you travel from Jerusalem to Jericho, the elevation will drop about 3,300 feet, over 3,300 feet, down to Jericho. That's a lot, and it's only about 14 miles. And there's the remains of the old Roman road that the Roman Empire made. But before the Roman Empire made that road from Jerusalem down to Jericho, people walked down a canyon. And you can still see that path where people walked down that canyon to get to Jericho. And Jesus walked, we know, numerous times up and down that canyon. And more than likely, he went there when he was 12 years old, because his folks were living up in the north. And they went to the temple there in Jerusalem when he was 12 years old. And they would have traveled. Normally, people from the north, they did not go straight down south to Jerusalem. They would swing over to the Jordan River and go down that valley because it was easier traveling. But also, they didn't have to go through the territory of the Samaritans. And they had a lot of prejudice against one another. And the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans, the Bible said. So many times when they would make a trip, they would make it up and down the Jordan Valley. It was easier traveling. But then when they got down to the city of Jericho, then they would have to go back up the elevation to go up to Jerusalem. That's probably the route that they took with Jesus when he was 12 years old. Now, that canyon that they would walk up and down from Jerusalem to Jericho was a very twisting, winding canyon, very rugged, and it had a lot of side canyons that kind of branched off to the side, and then there were a lot of little caves and crevices and places where many times people would, robbers would hide in those side canyons. And as a traveler would come down that canyon, heading to Jericho or heading back up to Jerusalem, the robbers would attack them and rob them and beat them up and sometimes even kill them. And you can probably think of the story of the Good Samaritan, how that he was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho and the Bible says fell among thieves. And that was a very common thing. And after the robbers would attack the travelers, rob them, beat them up maybe, sometimes even kill them, then they would hide back in those little side canyons, into caves back in there, and wait until the authorities would no longer be looking for them, and then they would come out and attack someone else. It was a very dangerous trip, that trip from Jerusalem to Jericho, or vice versa. And people did not like having to make that trip. It was very, very dangerous. Well, that canyon, you can go there yet today, and our bus that we were on stopped up at the top We were on the modern highway. There's the new modern four-lane highway that we were traveling. But we went off to a little side spot where we could look down over that cliff, see down in the canyon. And it was quite an interesting spot, beautiful spot, very, very dry and barren. And there was a man that was selling little souvenirs for the tourists. He was a Palestinian. And he had a donkey there with him that he had come on. And our tour guide was, his name was Naji. Naji was a Palestinian, a Christian, by the way. Very, very pious, very nice guy. They're not all terrorists by any means. But Naji was a middle-aged man, very knowledgeable about the country. And while the rest of us were looking at that site overlooking the canyon, Naji got on that little donkey. I got my camera ready. And sure enough, after a few seconds of Naji being on that donkey, the little donkey started getting kind of frisky in his hind legs. And sure enough, directly, he gave a big buck, and Naji went flying. And I had my camera ready, and I got a good shot of Naji going airborne. And it's a wonder he didn't break his back, poor guy. But he just kind of hurt his arm. Next day he was saying his arm was hurting. But then we got ready to leave. We all got back on the bus. As we got ready to pull out, the bus driver started pulling out. It was quite steep. And he killed the motor. Folks, it got deathly quiet. The back end of that bus was pointing towards that canyon. You could have heard a pin drop on that bus, because every one of us realized it was a very dangerous moment. And thank God the driver set that handbrake real hard and started the motor and got the bus going properly. We all breathed a sigh of relief, because sometimes, you know, buses, I've seen buses that have tumbled backwards into canyons and they lose their power and the brakes then are not very effective going backwards. So anyway, we got out of there okay. But that canyon is a very, very dangerous canyon. And that canyon has a name. It's called the Wadi Kelt. That's the present name of it. Wadi means a canyon. Kelt is the name of it. But it had an ancient name. It was called the Bloody Canyon because of so many people being hurt and killed there. It was dangerous in more than one way. If a person was in that canyon and a heavy rain came, there would be a flash flood. And just a little bit to the right of the Jordan River over there into the country of Jordan, there's a town called Petra, which is a famous tourist spot. A lot of people like to go there. Just this past week, Petra, which is a canyon, a city carved out of solid rock in that canyon. Just this past week, there was a flash flood, and I think it was about a dozen people were killed, trapped in that canyon in a flash flood. So a canyon is a very dangerous thing in a flash flood. So that canyon, that Wadi, as they called it, Wadi Kelt, was dangerous not only from the robbers, but it was also dangerous in case there was a heavy rain. You didn't want to get trapped down in that canyon if a heavy rain was going to cause a flash flood. And flash floods are very dangerous. You can have a very dry situation, clear sky, but if there's been a rain up the mountain, all of a sudden you get a flash flood coming down that canyon that's anywhere from 4 to 15 feet high, and there's no place to escape. But that canyon also had another name. It was called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. The Valley of the Shadow of Death. It was known by that back in David's day. So when you read the 23rd Psalm, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I never really understood that phrase, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, my mom, she used a switch, and it really was no comfort. And I doubt if anyone's ever been whipped with a rod or a staff, felt any comfort from it. So I always kind of wondered, what was David talking about there? I don't know if any of you can remember a rod on the seat of knowledge, but it's not much comfort, is it? But David says, the Lord's rod and the Lord's staff, they comfort him. But then when I realized, when I found out that that canyon is referred to as the Valley of the Shadow of Death, David was saying, when I have to go through that valley, the Lord is with me, and his rod is going to whip off those enemies that are going to attack me. His staff is going to be my protection. The Lord wasn't going to use the rod on David. The Lord was going to use the rod on David's enemies that were going to attack David. So David got a lot of comfort out of the fact that the Lord was with him. The Lord was going to protect him with that staff, that rod. Praise the Lord. Kind of gives you a better understanding of what David was talking about here. And it was a scary thing to go through that canyon, because a frequent situation arose where there would be robbers that would attack the travelers. And so the travelers usually would try to travel in a group going down through that canyon. And they would be armed, the group would, where they could protect one another. And if you recall the story of Jesus when he was 12 years old, the Bible says that his parents, they made a day's journey, and supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey, not realizing that the 12-year-old Jesus was not with him. He was still back up in Jerusalem. So that company was a very common thing for people to travel together. Made sense, didn't it? Well, then can you imagine the comfort that David felt like when he had the Lord with him? He said, even if I have to go through that canyon, I'm not going to fear any evil, for the Lord is with me. I will fear no evil. I get comfort from that rod that my Lord has. Just imagine, picture yourself having to make that trip in that dangerous situation, going down through that canyon. Let's suppose you had a contingent of the military with you and they were all your friends. You wouldn't be afraid. You'd have those big, strong soldiers with you. You wouldn't be afraid of the robbers. Amen. So there's a There's a lot of comfort in having the presence of the Lord with us as we go through life, because we're all basically sheep. We're sheep. And we all know the feeling of fear at times. And it's a wonderful thing to have the presence of the Lord with us to protect us. A few months ago, our neighbor that has some property behind us, we have this large field behind our house. And our neighbor put up some big, nice fence. And out in that field, he put two goats and two sheep. And my wife and I really enjoyed watching those two goats and those two sheep. They're gone now. I don't know what happened to them. But for several months, we enjoyed all this past summer watching those two goats and those two sheep. Those two goats and the two sheep, they got to be very close friends. Very close. When you'd see one, you'd always see the others. Now, I learned something. Those sheep would follow those goats wherever. We would sit out there on our porch and have our coffee and watch the sheep. But anywhere the goats went, that's where the sheep would go. Anybody learning anything? The sheep tended to follow the goats. Let it sink down into your brain, because there's a real danger spiritually. Goats have a more bold and aggressive nature than sheep do. So they tend to try to kind of control things. Okay, hope you're paying attention. Hope you're applying this to your situation. You got to be careful of goats. And you know what the Lord said about in the end time, he'll separate the sheep from the goats. Amen. He's talking about the righteous from the unrighteous. Now, as little sheepies, you got to be careful that you don't get led astray by some hard-headed goat that doesn't want to submit. You know, a sheep is a very submissive animal. They're very meek and easily controlled. But a goat, you better watch a goat. You turn your back on the goat and he'll butt you into the next county. I'm serious. And you can't hardly get a goat to be submissive. That's their nature. Now, around the church, you got to watch. You got to watch out for the goats, because you want to be a sheep in God's eyes. Amen. You want to be a sheep in God's eyes. Don't let those goats. And there will always be goats. Ever since I've been a little boy in church, I've noticed there were goats around the church. There'll always be those goats, and always will be, always have been, always will be. So you've got to watch the goats and not let them lead you off in the wrong direction. There's some good studies that can be made about the difference between the nature of sheep and goats. But how wonderful it is to be one of God's true sheep. A true sheep is submissive. A true sheep is, they do have problems. Brother Crum one time made the statement that it's kind of embarrassing that the Bible compares us to sheep. because sheep are very, they're dumb in some respect. They're very easily led astray. They just tend to get lost on their own. I don't want to be a goat, but I want to be submissive to my shepherd. I want to be submissive to my shepherd and let my shepherd lead me. Praise the Lord. A goat, they can get by without anybody really leading them, but the sheep can't. But the Lord anoints the heads of the sheep, but he doesn't anoint the heads of the goats. There's a big difference between sheep and goats. They look about the same, but there's a big difference. If you're ever lost, you want the shepherd to be able to find you. And don't think you have all the knowledge to guide your life without sometime or another wandering astray. That's the human nature. It's the nature of sheep. It's the nature of humans to wander astray. You want the shepherd to want you back. And you want to be careful about letting some goat lead you astray, because they'll always try. They'll always try to lead you astray. But it's a wonderful thing when you have to face that valley of the shadow of death. And all of us at one time or another experience that horrible, horrible feeling of going through that valley. That valley can be in various different forms. But it's a wonderful thing to have the Lord with you. There are times of grief and sorrow and loss and pain that everyone experiences. It doesn't matter who you are, you're going to experience loss and pain and suffering sometime or another. Our vice president that we had a few years ago, Mr. Biden, lost his son through death. Being vice president didn't keep him from suffering that loss. And how many times have you seen people that are strong and powerful and rich and famous, but yet they suffer loss? It's a wonderful thing to have the shepherd with you when you have to go through that valley, to have his protection. Our enemy is not some other person. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not some other person that's our enemy. But we wrestle against spiritual wickedness, demons. That's really who we wrestle against, demonic forces trying to destroy your soul. But it's a wonderful thing to have the Lord fighting off those demon powers that would destroy you. It's a wonderful thing to know that you've got your shepherd. We're looking out for you. Amen. Your shepherd's looking out for you. Amen. So let him lead you. Let him guide you. Keep your trust in the Lord. Amen. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. We don't know what tomorrow holds. There's an old song that I love so much. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. And it goes on to say, but I know who holds tomorrow. The Lord knows our future. We've got to keep that walk with God current and fresh. Amen. Because life has its way of bringing horrible problems to us. But oh, how much easier it is to handle those problems when we've got that relationship with the Lord. Very, very fresh and current and real. Let's lift our hands and reach out to the Lord for a few moments here. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, renew our walk with you, Lord. Put a fresh anointing, Lord God, upon us. We need you, Jesus. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Oh, Lord, we've got our trust in you. That's all we can say. We're trusting you, Lord. And it's so wonderful to have your presence with us each moment of the day. Glory to your name, Lord. Oh, precious Jesus, how sweet it is to be able to walk through the valley of the shadow of death and have no fear, to know that you're with us. You're fighting our battles, driving off the enemy that would destroy our soul. How wonderful it is, God. We love you, Jesus, your precious Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We pray, God, to have this beautiful relationship always fresh and current. Glory to your name. Blessed be your name, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and worship the Lord here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We praise you, Jesus. Bless your holy name, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. We'll take a break.